Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Colin Carter Podcast, live in studio in Salt Lake City, Utah. Thank you so much for joining today, bringing you, as always, the best information, content on parenting, raising your kids in this crazy world they're growing up in. I am so grateful to be doing this podcast today, and I'm really excited about my guest and the conversation that we're going to have today. I just realized that I think today I did the math, that my kids, I have four kids, and that we are now 2 years, 2.5 years of screen free. Now, when I say screen free, I mean we still have a TV. We still love movie night. But devices, iPads, video games, smartphones for the kids, Kindles, all that kind of stuff, we ditched them all 2.5 years ago. And I talk about that when I go and speak, and I share books that I read that inspired me to go do that. And one thing that I love is when I run into people that when I say that, they go, hey, I'm a mom, I'm a dad, like we're totally that too. You know, we've been doing a no screen or really focusing more on adventures and connection with our kids. Like, we're very low tech and I love that. I'm hoping that as the pendulum has swung so far out to the left with let's overconsume technology, let's let screens and iPads raise and babysit our kids, that hopefully that pendulum swings all the way back to the other side as fast as possible. And there are some amazing people out there that are practicing what they preach, and they're teaching other people how to do it, writing books about it. And of course, that's who we're talking today, is someone who's a big advocate for creating really meaningful families and adventure and creating, you know, giving your kids opportunities to be kids. One of my favorite magazine covers was Outdoor Magazine a couple years ago, about a year and a half ago, had a picture of a maybe like a 12-year-old boy laying on some grass. And it was just this really beautiful photo. And the title of the headline on the article cover, whatever, it said, it's time to rewild the child. And I love that. And it knocked me on the ground. It's time to rewild the child. And it said this in the subtext. It said, kids today are overscheduled, addicted to screens, and it's time we set them free. And so I am all about that. Joining me today is an amazing mother of four who is a new author in Southern California. Her name is Greta Eskridge. Greta, thank you so much for joining today. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Yay. And we figured out the technology. I can hear you awesome. So you're down there in Southern California, and you are doing all this amazing stuff with your kids. We're talking about a book coming out. We're going to talk about on teaching, helping parents teach them how to parent again and raise their kids in this, you know, in a better world that's not screen focused. Introduce yourself a little bit about you and your family and your background, and why is this your journey and your mission?
Okay, well, like you said, I'm a mom to four, and my oldest is 16, and then I have a 14-year-old, 12-year-old, and 9-year-old. And we have been pursuing the low-tech lifestyle since our oldest was born, actually even before we had kids, because we haven't had a TV probably in 20 years.
Oh, wow.
So we just always thought, well, let's do other things besides just watch TV every night. And I think part of that came from growing up. My dad actually hated TV. He called it the boob tube, and he thought it was just a giant waste of time.
Yeah.
So we didn't have TV growing up. I was homeschooled, and I pretty much wanted to get through my schoolwork as fast as possible so I could read or be outside. And that's kind of what I wanted to do with our kids. And I remember when I was registering for my first baby. You know, you go to like Babies R Us and you register for all this stuff. And there were all these baby Einstein videos. Do you remember those?
Yeah,
or am I older than you?
Baby Einstein. I still got the song memorized. Yeah.
So I remember seeing those, and you were really supposed to put like your like infant, like 3 month old in front of, you know, the VCR or DVD player and watch baby Einstein videos. And it just didn't sit right with me. And I think that was when we started just researching a little bit and trying to decide, like, is this good for our kids and what should we do? And we read on some medical website that said, or book, and it said that kids under two shouldn't have any access to screens.
Yeah.
And back then it wasn't even smartphones really. Like kids weren't on tablets in you know, 2004, yeah. But even watching TV, even watching Baby Einstein, or so that was what, where we started. And in the years since, as screens and technology have exploded, we've just decided to dial it back. And that's not what we wanted to do with our kids. And so far the outcome has been great.
Do you ever hear people say, well, that's easy for you because you live literally in Southern California where there's good weather. It's good. It's 78 and sunny all day. It's a little easier for you. I had a mom message me the day. She's like, I'm struggling. She's like, my son, he's playing PlayStation all day. I'm like, where do you live? She's like, we live in Vegas. We don't have a pool. I'm like, well, I get that. It's a little harder. But it is nice to be able to live in a place where there's so much to do, but you still have to be very, very, I mean, you have to be very purposeful, and you've got to be really conscious about setting this up. So, talk about this. Like, I know you're all about like, creating adventure, like, for your kids. So let's talk a little about that.
Well, I agree with you. It is easy here because we generally have good weather. And like right now, like the last couple of days, it's been like 95. So we're having a heat wave, oh, wow. But we can go to the beach if it's hot. Right.
Yeah.
And I recognize not everybody has that. However, I do live in the city. So, you know, Southern California is extremely crowded and dense. So it's not like I, you know, have just like the forest right next door. And I can say, go run in the woods, children, you know, go find some bird's nest and climb a tree.
Yeah.
Like I have to take them there.
Yeah.
So that has been our strategy is every week, we go out into nature. Sometimes we drive, you know, 45 minutes. We will drive 2 hours for a good hike.
Wow.
And a nature spot, because that's where my kids come alive. That's where we connect, and we just enjoy time together. And it's really fun, and we have to work for it. It's like something that we've dedicated and made a part of our life.
Yeah.
So yes, it requires sacrifice, and it requires saying, you know, we're putting this aside and we're doing this instead.
Yeah. So the question I get a lot from parents is, how do I do that? Right. They have found themselves, like a lot of families got sucked into the screens, entertaining their kids, entertaining themselves, and family dinners. They look up and everyone's looking down at a phone and they're like, wait, there's, you know, the infomercial, there's gotta be a better way. Right. So let's walk through what would you tell a parent, a mom or a dad who's like, okay, I'm ready to rewild our children and to take them out, but they literally don't even want to, we say, let's go on a hike. They start screaming, you know, they don't want to get off their phones. They don't want to get off the video games. What are some tips to kind of get this thing kicked off?
Well, of course, it depends on your kids' ages. I think the younger they are, the easier it is, because they're still, you know, more invested in relationship with mom and dad.
Yeah.
But if your kids are older, which is when I start to get the most pushback, I'm sure that's probably similar for you too.
Yeah.
Tweens and teens are like, oh, they don't want to be with me. And I think there's, you know, several different ways that you can approach that. One, of course, is being tricky. And if you go somewhere where there is no Wi-Fi, well, there you go. You can, yeah. Phone has lost its appeal.
Sorry, so, kids. You know what someone needs to do? I just thought of this. Someone take this and run with it. Someone needs to create an app where there's maps and places where you can just look and it will show you everywhere there is no Wi-Fi signals, like in your whole state. You know, even if it's just like, if you just get past this street up that road, there's no Wi-Fi, take your kids there, play kickball, right? Someone should invent that.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, that helps. Like the wilderness is great for that reason, because there's no Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
But also I think you have to meet your kids where they are when you're starting. So like if your kid's like, oh, I don't like the thought of going to a museum with you all day or going out on a hike sounds, you know, like awful.
Yeah.
Well, invite their friends along, like,
yeah.
Let them learn to be together, not just with you without technology, but have them learn how to be with each other, with friends, with no technology.
Yeah.
And you'll be surprised. Like that helps them because they get to have a buddy along and that, everybody loves to have friends with them, but also it's a great place for them to learn how to interact with each other. Cause I think kids aren't just struggling to interact with their parents. They're also struggling to interact with their friends because they just sit next to each other and text, you know?
Sure. Yeah. That's always fun to watch. I walked into an assembly one day. I forgot where I was, but it was a middle school and the kids could have their phones out. And there was four boys on a front row while the music was playing before the assembly started and they were on their phones. And I walked up to him and I go, "Hey, what's up, dudes? Who are you guys talking to?" And the kid looks up and he's like, "Huh? Oh, just them." And he points to his buddies next to him. Like, I'm like, literally, they're sitting right next to you. You could just look up and talk. But, and this, I don't blame on kids, right? They're following us. They look around the world and they see everyone looking down at a screen from, you know, young to grandma, grandpa too. And so this is going to be a big, you know, whole paradigm shift for a lot of us. So unplugging. How do we go about disconnecting and unplugging? I mean, there's an art to this, right? A lot of parents want to do it. They try it for a day and they give up and they're like, it's too hard. So what is the art behind doing this?
Well, I wish I could say that it's just, you know, it's not going to require sacrifice on your part, but it honestly is. I mean, I remember like we got our first minivan and, you know, we had like, I don't know, 5-year-old, 3-year-old, 1-year-old, and we purposely asked for one without the built-in TV.
DVD player, yeah.
Or DVD player, whatever.
Yeah.
Because we knew, like, it is going to be so easy on that one drive where the kids are, you know, losing it. Like, fine, just watch Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
But then you do that one time because you're desperate, and then, like, the next time it's easier. And so you do have to make choices as a parent to do things that are going to be a little more work for you.
Yeah.
So instead of putting in the DVD, when we play, we have to play, you know, games. We do listen to books on audio.
Yeah.
So when we're driving, we all are listening to the same book. And I think one of the ways that you can do that, where you're all having the experience together and using technology, for example, audiobooks, in a positive way, is rather than everybody listening to their own books and they're all plugged into their own headphones, there's no headphones. Everybody's listening to the same thing. So you're having an experience together and you're using technology in a way that you're using it for good. You're building relationship, but you're still connected with each other. So I think that is kind of an artful way to unplug, but at the same time, you are using technology, but you're using it in a way that still connection.
And then there's conversations happening, right? I mean, I remember doing book on tapes once with my family growing out, and you know, you're all hearing the same thing, and there's, you know, you start asking questions about something you just heard, and engaging in that conversation, and this is something that we're losing, is these I mean, one of my challenges when I talk at parent nights and communities, is one of my challenges I put in there is I say, I want you to put your phones away in the car when you're taking your kids to school, especially in dropping them off, because A, they need to have that time with you. And because, you know, leaving and coming to each other, that's a fun little ritual. And we're losing that to screens, but it is so depressing to me when I drive around freeways or I drive around the city and I see a mom and a dad in the car and they both have their AirPods in. And then you see kids in the back looking at a movie. It's just everyone is doing something different and missing out on this amazing, you know, I know road trips are one thing, but like just driving like to the store and back, like why are we throwing all AirPods and movies and screens on everyone different entertainment? It's just sad to watch.
Well, I was just going to say, I remember even when I was a kid and, you know, Walkmans came out and I remember in seeing other kids, you know, my age, you know, 7th grade, 10th grade, whatever, in the car next to their parents, and they would have their Walkman on with their headphones. And
yeah.
And I even as a kid, that didn't sit well with me because I thought, like, well, when I'm in the car, I want to talk to my parents or I want to hear what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Maybe I was a nosy kid, but I did. Like, I wanted to engage. I wanted a relationship. And I could see even then that putting something in your ear and checking out it was damaging the relationship. It wasn't, you know, bringing connection. It was bringing disconnection.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why this is such an important topic for us, is because now it's happening on a much greater scale. And kids like that are two I see in Costco,
yeah.
and their mom pushing them around in the cart, and they've got their mom's phone, or they've got, you know, the iPad, and they can't even go through the store and look around,
yeah.
and engage with life, because it's easier to have that kid distracted with the device.
Yeah. I see that. Yeah. We see that everywhere. And it's sad. I had this, this thought come up. I don't know if someone was talking to me about it, or if I just thought, I don't usually have my own original thoughts. So probably someone was talking to me about it, but they were saying, you know what, it was like a younger mom with, and she's like, I see a lot of these, you know, young families pushing their kids around, and they just have iPads in their, you know, or a phone they're looking at. Do you think some of the point, some of the reason why our generation, a lot of people are just throwing phones to their kids to keep them, you know, entertained, is because a lot of our parents, like, I don't remember my dad really ever just like sitting on the ground and just like playing. And like, I mean, did we lose the ability to learn and know how to play with our kids because a lot of us weren't taught how to play when we were growing up with our parents?
Oh yeah, I think that's a great point. I have a dad who's extremely playful. I mean, he's 67 years old and he still plays tag with my kids,
oh, wow.
or other random kids, you know, at church or whatever. So I think that that is true. I mean, I grew up learning how to play. And in fact, there's a great book that it's written by the guy who wrote James and the Giant Peach.
Roald Dahl. Yeah.
Yes. And this is my favorite of his books. It's called Danny, the Champion of the World. And it's about a dad and a son. And the dad is super playful. And he just knows how to connect with his son. And at the end of the book, Roald Dahl writes a message. And he says, for all the parents reading this book, every child wants a parent who is sparky. And yeah. and what he means by that is a parent who's not, and he says, not a stodgy, but a parent who is sparky and who will play with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like that is, that's such a great point. We do need to, we can't just expect our kids that we can't say, hey, get off your phone, get off your video game, do something with your life.
Yeah.
And don't show them how, or don't engage with them and yeah. give them a reason.
Yep. Well, we are looking at, I think a crisis in the sense that, when we are letting our kids look at screens at the grocery store, in the car, at home, we had my son had a baseball game yesterday. He's seven. And I remember seeing a kid on his team literally leave the dugout, run to his mom. She gave him her phone. I mean, this is like 7, 8 year olds. She gave him the phone. He turned it sideways and started playing a game as he's walking out of the dugout, walking to the car. And I'm watching all the other boys like talk, laugh, cheer, engage in conversation. My heart broke. And it's like, when we're in a situation where we're constantly stimulating our kids digitally, where they aren't able to just sit there and think and be bored. I obviously have a lot of thoughts about this, but what are your thoughts on this? And what is that doing to kids, as they're growing and developing? This constant stimulation, constant, entertainment, no chance to ever just be quiet and sit in their thoughts.
There's, I'm going to refer to another great book. It's called Last Child in the Woods, and it's by a guy named Richard Louv. And he wrote it, I don't know, 10 years ago, maybe more. Uh-huh. And he talks about how kids, it's something called nature deficit disorder, and kids need quiet and they need time to just sit and absorb the world around them and, have the peace and the excitement that comes from being out of doors and being away from, like you said, the constant stimulation. And I think that you talk about it all the time. Kids are struggling with anxiety. Kids are struggling with depression. And kids, even I know in my kids, like if we go to, you know, for example, grandparents' house, where that's the only place where they get to play, you know, Minecraft or beyond grandma's iPad, they get that time when they're there, and we come home and they have to detox. Like they have, they're less creative. They bicker more. They are much more quickly to say I'm bored.
Yep.
And so I think it drains so many of the natural characteristics of childhood, curiosity, wonder, the desire for new things.
Yeah.
It drains that of them. And so that's why we got to figure out something else for them to do.
So let's talk about this book you got coming out. Tell me about the book and what is it all about?
So it's called Adventuring Together, Creating Lasting Connections with Your Kids Through Adventure. I think I got the subtitle right. I always mess it up, but I wrote the book, but it's been years now. This is so long. Yeah. So something like that. Basically it's kind of putting forth this idea to parents that, hey, you can connect with your kids away from technology, away from screens. It's something that we all long for, and build relationships that last. And you can do it through adventure. Get outside, go places, do things with your kids, and learn how to be together. Whether your kids are little or your kids are teenagers, I'm sharing personal experiences of how we've done it in our family, how I did it when I was a kid, and then how you can do it too.
So give us a couple, let's say a mom or dad is listening to this and their kids are young. Let's say, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, toddler age or old toddler. What are some of the simple, easy, fun ones that could be a quick, easy adventure for someone that's that age?
Well, again, I love the idea of getting kids outside as soon as possible. So when your kids are little, it's a great idea to take them to a nature center.
Yeah.
Because that's a great place to start teaching them how to be outside and not be afraid and not worry about bugs or coyotes or snakes,
yeah.
But to actually enjoy it. The trails are marked. There's docents that will, identify a flower for you or help you see a bunny. But it starts to create in them the idea of not just experiencing the world on a screen, but to live it.
Yeah.
And so that's just a great place. Start going, find all the nature centers around where you live, go every week,
yeah.
And start a habit of being outside together. That's a great one for little ones.
Get them touch. I mean, kids, they're so curious. They want to touch, feel everything, get them into places where they can go out and grab stuff and get dirty and put things in their mouth. Hopefully nothing that's too dirty, but, it is. Yeah. I love it. My youngest is 7 now, and I miss those days of us going up in the mountains and him picking up deer poop thinking they were M&Ms, stuff like that. What about the older teens? I mean, you've got an older up to 16, what about the parents who are like, oh my gosh, my kid won't even leave their bedroom anymore. And if, everything's got to be on a phone, and heaven forbid we leave the phone in the car and they can't get on Snapchat for an hour or have Wi-Fi for a couple hours. What are some quick, easy tips for that?
Depending on where your kids are at, it can be more difficult, based, on how engaged they are with their phone and their apps and whatnot. But I think, first try to engage them, like what are some things you like to do? If they're unable to come up with anything, find 3 things that they might be interested in and give them. Let them say, okay, you got to pick one. Like I said before, invite a friend, because that can bridge that gap. If they really don't know how to be engaged with you as a parent, then and bridge the gap. Let them have a friend. And again, I think being outside is fantastic. But so, if you can go somewhere where the nature and the scenery is going to be exciting and kind of lure them in, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You can't even do that. Like, what are other things they're interested in? If they're interested in cars, go to a car museum. If they're interested in, cooking, take a cooking class together. Like, just do something outside of your everyday that will engage them and use that as the hook.
I like the idea of bringing a friend along. I really do like that. A lot of times when they're that age, my oldest is 14. She's not quite to the part where she hates me yet, hopefully. But being able to bring a friend with you. And the other point is this, I like, is that doing what they want to do. Even if you don't like it, right? I mean, it's like, I remember the only times I ever hung out with my dad was when we were doing something that he wanted to do. And so I just decided that my hobbies were going to be the things that he liked doing, because then I was able to spend some time with him. Right. And I saw he really enjoyed doing, you know, water skiing, or if maybe it was like, you know, golf, and I hate golf, but it was like, hey, it's time, right? Even if they don't, even when they sound like they tell you they don't want to hang out with you or they don't want to go, they do. You know, right. they might not say it to you, but they really want to spend some time with you. This is so cool. I'm trying to find a quote here. So one of my favorite books on this, the book that I read that, and I love Last Child in the Woods, that was called. I love that book. The book I read that got me really into this no screens for kids is called Glow Kids by Nicholas Carderis. But there's a section where he quotes that book you just mentioned. And I'm trying to find it, but I can't, but I'll paraphrase it. He's talking about nature deficiency disorder and how our kids need to get back out there. And the word he used was something like this. He said, when you bring your kids into nature, it activates their souls.
Yeah.
And when I look at kids, when I look at addiction to screens, when I look at, and I hate using the word addiction, but when you see kids who are struggling and they're just staring and they're getting all their entertainment on a screen, addiction is very isolating. It's typically just them alone. And even if they're with their friends, they're alone together. What are your thoughts on this? Not just as something that we should, like, you know, wouldn't be fun if we went on a hike, but almost like this is something that has to happen to like literally save your kids. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree. I think we have to dare to be different as parents, and we have to say, this is for this, like just the same way that we say, you know, don't cross the street without holding my hand.
Yeah.
Don't touch a hot dog. Like we have to say, this is for your health and safety.
Yeah.
And it's for your mental health. And when we look at it that way, we can elevate its importance. And, we have to say, you know, okay, you in our family, you can't have relationships just with your friends on apps. You have to see them in real life. Yeah. We can't just hang out. And you know, our only interaction as a family is movie night. We actually have to do game night or two, something like that.
Yeah.
Like you have to be willing to be different than the norm, and you have to be brave enough to do it, because it's for their health. It's for their mental health, their emotional health. And it's for building those lasting relationships. That doesn't happen by accident. You have to be intentional.
Yeah. What are some thoughts around, the homeschooling? Now I know you're a second generation homeschooler. I've been hearing since with COVID and everyone having to go do school online or at the house, and parents now have become school teachers. Pros and cons of that. I have had so many parents say, you know what, this whole COVID thing's been amazing. And my kids, me having to teach them, like, I'm going to go homeschool my kids. I mean, and go, we're going to go buy an RV. We're going to go travel the world, and we're going to do that. Obviously you homeschool your kids, right? And you were homeschooled. What do you say to parents about when they ask you about homeschooling, pros and cons real quick? And then the parents who have who always say, well, what about socializing? Right? Like, I need my kids to be at a big school, because if I don't, they're not going to know how to socialize as they grow up.
Oh gosh, this is like a whole nother podcast, Colin.
Okay. Tune in next time.
Okay, I'm going to address the socialization one first, because I've been hearing that since I was a kid myself. Yeah. And I have to admit, I'm a little bit rebellious. And now when people ask me about my kids, I like to say, well, I was homeschooled and I'm able to talk to you, so I think they're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
But honestly, before I started homeschooling my kids, I taught public school for 5 years. I was a high school teacher and I loved it. But there were plenty of kids that didn't have social skills in traditional school as well. I don't think school is the place where our kids should be getting their social skills. They should be learning that home from their family.
Yeah.
And so that can happen whether your kid's homeschooled or traditional schooled. And now I think all of us are very aware that because kids are spending so much time on screens, their social skills are becoming less and less,
yeah,
whatever kind of school they're in, because they're not engaging in face-to-face activities nearly as much.
Yeah.
But if you do homeschool and you're thinking of it and you're worried that your child isn't going to have opportunities to socialize, what you're going to do is you're just going to be with other kids that are homeschooled, and your kids are going to be in Boy Scouts, or you're going to go, yeah, to church activities. Like, they can take an art class. Like, there's so many places where my kids engage with other kids. I mean, we go hiking with other kids every single week. So you don't have to you're not like locking your kids in the closet. That's not what homeschooling is.
I was homeschooled for one semester when I was, I think, in third grade, and it was in the basement of this like dark house. And I think because my mom, she would like read some fringe like article about like the government brainwashing kids. And she found some mom who's like, come bring your kids to my basement and we'll still say the Pledge of Allegiance. And I remember it not being a good experience, but that's not what it is. That's not what homeschooling is. Send your kid to some like, you know, brainwash Kool-Aid camp, whatever, but.
Shouldn't be the norm. I think the danger with what homeschooling is right now during COVID is that a lot of people, their kids are just doing online school. And yeah, so I'm hearing from parents all the time. They're like, my kids drained from being online all the time. My, yeah, kids being exposed to all kinds of terrible things because they're online all the time. And if this is what homeschooling is, I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
And of course, that's not online school where your kid's on Zoom or searching Google for doing homework and they're seven and they have, you know, unsupervised internet time. That's not what school should be.
Yeah.
Whatever kind of education you're giving your kids. So it definitely, homeschooling definitely doesn't look like that. That's COVID school. It's not.
Yeah. Schooling. Okay, good. I'm glad we cleared that up because, yeah, parents are like, I want to homeschool, but I don't want to have them sit in front of the screen for 7 hours. I'm like, well, The beauty of the homeschooling stuff is you get to educate them how you want, which doesn't have to be all the online. Now we have summer. We're in the middle, the beginning of summer. And something I love doing that I promote on my social media channels is hashtag screen-free summer. So we've done it for, this is our third summer. Now we're doing screen-free totally throughout the whole year. But I'd love seeing people push a screen-free summer. What are your thoughts on this? If you can't do screen free all the time, summer though, what a great time to do it. What are your thoughts on this?
Oh gosh, there's so many things. I mean, I have to admit, due to COVID, my kids have, been, connecting with friends,
yeah,
online. So, which has never been something we've ever done. They don't have any, my kids don't have smartphones. They don't have any social media. But what they did was my older boys created an online Lego building club.
Oh, cool.
And they have a Zoom meeting. And they give a challenge, a Lego building challenge. And so they come on and they share their builds and they talk. And it's a way for them to be together while they had a social distance, but still have like purposeful conversation, and
that's
like
so cool,
something to talk about. So like, because of where we've been, like there has been more screen time, in that sense, but not just like zoning out on video, yeah, games or scrolling, yeah, Snapchat.
Yeah.
We don't do that. But I think once we can get back to hanging out with friends, they're not going to want to do Zoom meetings with their buddies because they recognize it's not as fun.
Yeah.
It's not that it's being together. So I think as far as screen-free activities, oh my gosh, there's so many. Like, you know, what about just if you, again, be outside as much as possible. If you can take a camping trip, even, yeah, if you do a camping trip in your backyard, because you're like, oh, I,
yeah, we've done that.
Camping sounds hideous to me. Well, you can camp in your backyard. I mean, not everybody likes to camp.
Sneak into your bed at like midnight and then wake back, yeah, up and jump back in the sleeping bag at 6 a.m. Hey, that was fun. I feel rested.
But even things like, I mean, when was the last time you had a water balloon fight with your kids? And they, yeah, make water balloons now that you can fill up like 500 water balloons.
I love that thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I mean, it is so exhilarating to, you know, throw a water balloon at your mom's head. Like, just let them do it. Go for it.
I love that.
And just like, I think just we sometimes make those huge summer bucket lists and we have to go to Disney World and we have to do all these things. And it can be things that are a lot simpler. Just, you know, spending an hour outside in the afternoon, reading a book together, doing chalk drawings, like just, you can do stuff at home. Instead of buying lemonade, make lemonade, like really squeeze the, make your own popsicles. I don't know. There's just a lot of things that you can do with your kids that don't have to be spectacular, but because you're doing it with them, it's a lot more fun.
And your book's going to have these things, right? You're going to actually have like lists of things people can do. Cause I think a lot of us got so, we got so sucked into like current, like life the last few years and the stress of being parents. A lot of parents kind of almost have forgotten like how to sit down and be silly and play these games, you know, how to fill up a water balloon, how to go play kick the can and all these fun games we all miss. You're going to have a list of some of these things they can do in the book, right?
Yep. There's chapters like outside activities, indoor activities, things if you have limited finances or other kind of restraints and, you know, like you can't go camping or can't go for a hike. What, how else can you still adventure with your kids? So, yeah, there's lots of activities and lots of things to do. And I'm hoping that it will inspire families to just want to spend time together in different ways away from technology.
Do you think, as one of my last questions, do you think that we as parents, and I'm thinking about this because I got a message from a lady maybe about a year ago, I think somewhere like in the Pacific Northwest, and she said something to the tune of, okay, I'm a mom, we've got three younger kids, you know, they're like oldest is like 6, 7. And she said that I have seen what screens and iPads have done to other people's kids. And she's like, heck no, are we doing that? And she said that she got some of her friends together that are all moms of young kids. And they like signed a pact. Like they literally put their hands in the middle. Like, okay, we are not going to be the families who, when you come to our house, we're going to let your kids play iPads and Fortnite all day. Like we're going to be the families. They're going to be doing fun stuff. Like let's get, and they almost like created their own little like hippie cult tribe of like screen free parents. And she's like, she said that we literally like signed it. We wrote it out. We signed a pact. We said, we're not going to give our kids smartphones. We're not going to give our kids Snapchat when they're this age. Like, and we're going to be the ones who do it. Do you see any, I mean, are you in a cult like that too? Like I want to be a part of that. If there is one, if you know about it.
Yeah, actually our group is called Adventure Club and we started it with, let's see, 11 years ago when my oldest was 5. And it's a group of families. There's like 12 families in our group now. And like I said, we hike together every week and we take adventures together. And none of our kids have smartphones. A couple kids have iPods for listening to books or taking pictures, but they don't have Wi-Fi. So
they're
not using it when we're out on the trail or even going to a museum or whatever. And honestly, our kids are really happy. Like they're not worried about what people are posting and hold on, I got to check Snapchat. Like that's just not part of their world. They're just fully engaged with each other. And like, I think it's going to be one of the best parts of their childhood. Just this group of friends that are like really hang out together in real life.
I love it.
And I have a whole chapter in the book about creating your own adventure club, how you could do that for your kids and your family. And it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to sign the pact in blood, but but you can do it. It's counterculture a little bit,
but
have you read the book Techwise Family by Andy Crouch?
Yep. Yep.
There's a part at the beginning of the book. He says, you don't have to be all the way Amish, but you might have to be almost Amish. And I love that because, you know, he's calling us out and saying, you're going to have to be a little bit different, but that's okay. Like you don't have to be all the way.
Yeah. Almost. You know, speaking of that, I spoke in upstate New York this last year in Potsdam. And I had a existential, like proverbial coming to Jesus moment, blew my mind. And it was with the Amish. I have to say it because this is how my brain works. I hear a word, I'm like, oh, story time. I went and spoke up there, and I spoke at some of the schools up there, middle schools, and like every middle school across America I go to, like, you know, a lot of amazing kids, but a lot of struggling kids. And you see, like, you know, the hair colors are changing and a lot of sad looking kids, and kids are self-harming, and a lot of kids come after telling me how they have depression and they're like 12. And I remember speaking at one school, and it just felt this like overwhelming feeling of sadness for the kids today. And knowing that this was not their fault, knowing that this was something they were thrown into. And I just like, I felt sad. And I feel that a lot. That's kind of what pushes me. And I know what pushes you is you see what's happening and you're like, this is not right. Like, are we letting this happen? Like, why are we letting this happen? Let's fix this. Let's go back. We don't have to just talk about nostalgically, like, oh, remember the old days. The old days were like 10 years ago. This isn't like 50. This was not long ago. But I remember speaking at the school, and I had like a 3-hour break before I was going to do the parent night, a 4-hour break. And I'd never been up to like upstate New York. And so I was like, hey, like, where's these cool, like really cool Amish communities? They're like, oh, just go down the 89 or the 92 and you'll see them. And, you know, they have these cool stands the kids will come out and talk to you and stuff. And I remember driving out for like a half hour, and I went to this little Amish community, and I pulled over to like a fruit stand. And all these kids started came up talking to me, and I was like buying stuff, and I was making them laugh. And I remember just like 8 kids lined up, barefoot, feet just covered in dirt, outfits dirty, faces covered in dirt, everyone the happiest kid I have ever seen in my life. And yeah. I remember sitting back thinking, like, what have we done? Like, yeah, like you said, we don't need to go full Amish, but like, what have we done? At what cost have we been robbing our kids of a childhood? Like, parents, please, we need to understand that your kid, they need to have a childhood. They've got to have it. And if it's a hard place because you're in a city that they can't do much in, like, we have to create some form of a childhood for them. And no more screens raising our babies, and no more screens, you know, taking away their childhood, and no more letting, the games are fun. I get it, right? If your kid likes to game with them, sit down with them, have them teach you how to play Minecraft, have them teach you how to play Fortnite for an hour, and then go do something, go outside. If we're going to fix this issue with anxiety, depression among our kids and all the issues that lead to mental health issues, like, we've got to give them a chance to be children. And so I'm so grateful for your book. The book, again, it's a very long title. Remind me the Adventuring Together -. What was it again? Say it again.
I don't even remember now.
Adventuring Together.
By Greta Eskrid, and you're good. You'll find it.
Here it is. It's called Adventuring Together. Oh, no. Adventuring Together by, just look it up, Greta Eskrid. You can go to her website, which is GretaEskridge.com. I'm sure she's all over social media, too, to get tips and tricks on how to rewild your child, how to give them an amazing child. And it doesn't take a whole lot of time. This, start with one day a week. Start with 1 hour a day. It doesn't need to be going full Amish overnight, but get to Amish as fast as you can. Thank you so much for joining me. You can find out more information about what I'm doing on @callingcards.com or savethekids.us. Go home, give your kids an A-Sync hug. We'll see you next time.